Hey, everyone. In case you didn't know, Mike Trout is really, really good. Welcome to the show. Also, the Dodgers are raking right now, and we are going to rank some Dodgers. But it's not all good news. It is Worryometer Wednesday. And actually, we have some listener worryometer suggestions.
Well, that's what they're good at. Those listeners love to worry.
They do. Worry warts out there, you listeners. I'm Adam Azer. That's Scott White. And here's Chris Towers.
Do you guys worry? Just like in general? Like, do you like live with like a constant sense of dread?
I actually don't feel like I... Well...
Can I tell you something funny about me? Monday, you guys don't play much video games, right?
I wish I did.
I don't.
But not at this stage of my life, no.
Well, so there's the big E3 expo happening right now, and so that's when all the video game companies share all their video game things, and, you know, they announced the Super Smash Brothers yesterday, which looks awesome. And there's this game called The Last of Us. Scott, I was telling you about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best game I've ever played, and the sequel is coming out. I stayed up until like 2:30 in the morning on Monday night because I made the mistake of watching the trailer for that game at like midnight.
Oh, gosh.
And it freaked me out so much that I could not fall asleep.
Okay,
good
Chris.
Grief.
Chris, I just sent you a link.
That is my life.
I just sent you a link, Chris.
That is like 13-year-old me right there.
Yeah, it's pretty dorky. I read last night. I read the scariest thing I've ever read in my life. No joke. And I sent it to Chris.
That's pretty scary.
You tell me if I should say it on the air. I'm thinking no. It was an article in the New Yorker, and it just terrified me. So, yes, I do worry. Now let's talk about baseball. Mike Trout. Oh, by the way, coming up on the show, let's see. Oh, Ken Giles got a save. I want to talk about some middle relievers that you might want to pick up because their ratios are awesome. Worryometer on Albies, on Inciarte, on a couple of Chicago Cubs. A lot of your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Mitch Haniger homered twice. He's been pretty cold, but he's heating up a little bit. 4 home runs now in June. Ryan Healy's been much colder than that, and he homered twice. Didi Gregorius has been even colder, and he homered twice. So we'll talk about the double dongers. But, man, Chris, you are loving Mike Trout. You always hated Mike Trout. Thought he was overrated.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, come on. Don't put that evil on me.
Not true. He's... 2 more home runs, 4 in his last 2 games, and he is the number one player, but has not been as good as Mookie Betts on a per-game basis this year.
This is, like technically correct, the best kind of correct, but also, like, yes, Mookie Betts has been slightly better than Mike Trout this season, and, like, Jose Altuve was probably, last year was not the best example, but 2 years ago, Jose Altuve was probably slightly better than Mike Trout, but like it always requires some Herculean effort by some schmo to get slightly better than Mike Trout, while Mike Trout's just like Mike Trout's just like doing his thing, having a normal Mike Trout season, and it requires like some dude to just like have summoned the strength of the gods in order to just barely eclipse him, and it's like it's pretty clear who the best player in fantasy and who the best player in baseball is.
Yeah.
Even if some other guy might be slightly... Like, Mookie Betts was better for 49 games.
Okay, all right. Well, let's not sell Mookie Betts short because he does have a 735 slugging. Of course, Mike Trout's the best. But I believe it was you. Honestly, mm-hmm. I might be wrong about this. But I think last week you said, like, there's a big four now with Betts and Jose Fernandez and...
No. Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez. And who was there? One other guy? And Trout, obviously.
Altuve. And Trout.
I think it was both
of you.
It was
something we talked about when we were both on,
We talked about it with pitchers as well. I think there's like, you know, we came into the season thinking there were these specific tiers, and maybe the tiers have, like maybe at pitcher there's a big two, and then there's like 5 other guys who are in the Kershaw tier. Maybe at among hitters it's like Trout on his own little island, and then everyone else.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, Trout would be, if we were redrafted today, there'd be
consensus
no
number
for anyone but Trout. And there shouldn't have been coming into this season either, but a certain friend of ours decided to make one. But yeah, I think right after Trout, those other 3 could probably go in any order.
Right. Now, Trout is batting .310. He's got 23 homers and 13 steals, and he hasn't been caught stealing. And Chris, you were saying before we started the show, we can end our discussion on Mike Trout now, but before we started the show, he's having the best season since Babe Ruth?
Yeah, according to Fangraphs wins above replacement, he is on pace for 13.3 wins above replacement, which would be the best non-Babe Ruth season. According to Baseball Reference's wins above replacement, he's on pace for 15 WAR.
Whoa.
Which would be the best season by a full win.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure some, you know, Mordecai Brown pitcher from 1872 who threw 600 innings probably had more, but, you know, for real baseball players.
All right.
Oh, that was mean. I'm sorry, Mordecai Brown. I don't know anything about you.
Okay, so Mike Trout's awesome, and so are the Dodgers. Oh, by the way, obviously Miguel Cabrera is out for the season. Buried the lead there. We'll talk about first base replacements. We'll talk about John Hicks, who's 26% owned and is catcher eligible and will be the everyday first baseman for the Detroit Tigers, the regular first baseman. Rank these Dodgers. Juck Peterson. What the hell is the matter with you? Max Muncy, Yasiel Puig, and Matt Kemp. Four Dodgers, Juck Peterson, Max Muncy, Yasiel Puig, and Matt Kemp.
That was your best one yet. I'm so glad he's relevant again, Juck Peterson. I think he has to be last of this group just because he sits against left-handers and should sit against left-handers. But he's definitely relevant and obviously made the most of the one of the two righties he was scheduled to face this week last night. I actually have Muncy, Puig, and Kemp in that order, all consecutively in my outfield ranking. So I'll go Muncy, Puig, Kemp, and then Juck Peterson.
Where are they in your outfield rankings?
They are 42nd, 43rd, and 44th.
That all sounds right to me. I think there's not a huge difference between the lot of them, and I don't think any of them are must-start guys. Muncy, maybe just because he's playing so well right now that you want to take advantage. And the skills that he's showing are very impressive. You know, good command of the strike zone, hitting the ball hard, hitting for power. And he showed some power in the minors. I think he had like a 25 homer season once. So it doesn't look totally unsustainable. On the other hand, I thought Chris Taylor's 2017 wasn't totally unsustainable. So,
Chris Taylor, like, I know the numbers don't look as good last year, but he's still been a productive enough player.
I haven't benched him in the Roto League where I have him, but he hasn't been the same guy, my point.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, Muncy right now is, his home run to fly ball rate is comparable to like what Judge, Stanton, and Gallo did last year. I think those are the only three that had a home run to fly ball rate in the same range that Muncy does now. So he's going to slow down. But at the same time, like everything... All the numbers we can look at to detect a power hitter suggest he's a power hitter, and he obviously walks a lot. And there's clearly a lot to like about Muncy, even if it's been over his head so far.
Home run in four straight games for Max Muncy, that funky Muncy. Thank you, Team Name Tuesday yesterday. All right, big news. Oh boy, Miguel Cabrera. Will Miguel Cabrera ever be good for fantasy again?
I don't think so. That's my guess. If you're gun to my head, yeah. Have to decide today, that's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, 36-year-old coming off a season-ending injury? No, that's probably it. He'll be 36 next year.
I know this isn't a popular opinion for those. It won't be a popular opinion for those who stashed him all this time and were still holding out hope, but I'm kind of relieved from my own perspective that this happened because he is... Since before the season, he's been a frustrating player to rank and figure out what to expect from him. And now it's just there's some closure here, I feel like.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
he's been
playing like the last good version of Adrian Beltre we saw, you know,
uh-huh.
Or like not very much power, but still good enough to play, but certainly not a standout.
Yeah, I mean, I have to disagree. As a Miguel Cabrera owner, and he's out for the season with a ruptured left biceps tendon, just because batting average is so hard to come by, and I don't think he's a power, you know, a good power source. But
to be clear,
but I think
I'm not
average.
Happy that Miguel Cabrera got hurt. I just want to put that out there and make sure everyone knows that I am not happy
You don't keep rankings either.
Whoever else might be, I'm not.
Yeah, I can understand how he'd be difficult to rank, but I was relying on him for batting average, and I basically think I have no chance of winning our Roto League now because, you know, I suck at batting average. But, okay, so let's talk first base replacements, then we'll talk about John Hicks. You know, it is a deep position, but a lot of these guys are owned, you know? So I don't know how many good first basemen are available on waivers. In the shallowest of leagues, you know, Will Myers is 89% owned. Eric Thames is back. Yeah, I know who you're going to say.
Brian Healy?
Oh, no. No, I thought you were going to say Justin Bour.
No, I mean, Justin Bour, yeah. He's been pretty much his 2017 self since, like, the 10th game of the season when he got off to a really bad start. But, you know, Ryan Healy, his ownership's down to 54%. There was a point where this guy was pretty much universally owned, and he's been in a deep slump. But I think we're probably going to look up at the end of the season, and he's going to have 30 homers, and he's going to have hit 265, and he's going to have 90 RBI. And, like, he's never going to be a top 12 first baseman at any point in the season, but you can do worse.
Yeah, you can. Well, let's see who you can get. All right, so we'll start at 80% owned.
It's only a 10% difference between him and Justin Bour. I feel like...
Yeah, Bohr's ownership just hasn't gone up at all.
Yeah, that's the clear standout here.
He is not having a good year. He's having a terrible year, and I know what you just said, Chris, but it's kind of like Ryan Healy. It's one hot streak for Justin Bour, but week by week, he's been pretty bad.
Yeah, I still like what the batted ball profile shows. I still think he has the potential to be a top power hitter, and he's been an on-base machine. Like, even with the bad batting average so far, even with some of the bad luck there, he's been an on-base machine just because pitchers, he's one of the few hitters to be scared of in that lineup.
Yeah.
I think ultimately it's going to work out in his favor. He's going to be a top 20 player at a deep position.
All right, so that's Justin Bour. Let me read the names. Start with 80% owned and down. Marwin Gonzalez, CJ Krohn, Mitch Moreland, Jesus Aguilar, Max Muncy, Josh Bell. They're all 75% to 80% owned.
Aguilar and Muncy stand out there.
Yep.
I would add both of those guys.
Of course.
Muncy might be pretty close to Bour in terms of how much I want him. Aguilar would be if I knew for sure he was going to be more or less the everyday first baseman with Thames back, but since I don't know, he's third in that group.
So he's third behind who? Muncy and...
I was including Bour in there, even though his ownership's a little lower.
So Aguilar did not start yesterday. Eric Thames started against a righty, led off. Eric Thames, by the way, is also 82% owned, so, you know, he won't be an everyday player, probably. Going down to 70% owned and less, Greg Bird, Ian Desmond, Justin Bour, Adam Duvall, Matt Adams, Albert Pujols. Greg Bird, Desmond, Bour, Duvall, Adams, Pujols.
See, there's no comparison there between Bour and everybody else. Bird still has untapped potential and obviously is in a great lineup. I could still see things going very right for him. But the kind of start he's off to after missing all that time.
Yeah.
He's unstartable right now.
It is, I suppose, worth noting that over the last 60 days, CJ Krohn is the number two first baseman in fantasy. I do with that what you will. I'm not particularly interested in it, but other people might be.
Yeah, I definitely, every time Greg Bird comes up to the plate, I feel like I am at bat. And I have everything at stake, and I had a lot of profanities yesterday because he just keeps leaving a runner. Like, it's happening. He's getting on base. He's getting up with bases loaded, two on, one out, and he is choking every time, and it is really, really angering me.
You know what I noticed for him, though? And, like, his hard contact rate is really good.
Is it?
You know what, Adam?
He's not hitting any line drives at all. It's like an abysmal line drive rate, but he's elevating the ball and hitting it really hard.
Look, Adam, you got to stop being mad at Greg Bird for being Greg Bird.
No,
right?
He's not. You don't know who Greg Bird is.
Do you go outside and shout at the sun because it's too bright?
You don't know who Greg Bird is.
Is that what you do?
You've never seen, you know nothing of Greg Bird. Ryan Zimmerman, Trey Mancini.
Do you get mad at water for wetting you?
Ryan Zimmerman, Trey Mancini, Ryan Healy, Yuli Gurriel, Matt Davidson, Derek Dietrich. Any names jump out at you? Zimmerman, Mancini. Let's do this quick, guys. Zimmerman, Mancini, Healy, other than Healy. Gurriel, Davidson, Dietrich.
How Davidson's still on the DL, right?
Yeah. No, he's back. He just stinks.
Okay.
Lately.
Depending on what you need, I think Davidson and Gurriel are the standouts in that group. Gurriel, obviously, just for batting average, I think the broken thumb, whatever the hand injury that he suffered coming
hand,
into the season,
right? Yeah.
Does appear to have sapped his power, but not his contact ability. So he can be a pretty empty batting average, but there's value in that. And Matt Davidson, I think, you know, will hit home runs.
Okay, and maybe you can buy low on like a Rhys Hoskins, or
sure.
Rizzo's been really good since the start of May, but his overall numbers aren't very good. Maybe you can buy low. I don't know. I might have missed your window to buy low on Cody Bellinger. And
maybe. I mean, Edwin Encarnacion's kind of cooled off a little after after a hot stretch, so maybe you could still buy low on him. Brandon Belt while he's on the DL.
Justin Smoke, maybe.
Oh, Brandon Belt, that's a good call. He's having a really good year. Oh, Justin Smoke, no. Worryometer on Justin Smoke. That is coming up. Edwin Encarnacion is back. Oh, John Hicks, 26% owned. He is catcher eligible, as I mentioned. He's batting .284, but 16 straight games without an extra base hit. Some of that was with Miguel Cabrera back. Some of that was before Miguel Cabrera came back. How excited are you about adding John Hicks?
I was really excited to add him in a 24 team league that I got outbid. So that was disappointing. But like catcher is so awful.
Yes.
Like so awful. Like we talk about how awful it is. I think we understate it even how often we talk about it, because it's just so bad that like even if you don't have a lot of confidence in the hitting profile for Hicks, and you know he's a guy with decent pop, but not like a all-star caliber, all-star upside kind of guy. Just the fact he's going to be a catcher who plays every day is going to set him apart from so much of the sludge at that position that it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's top 12 the rest of the way.
I think he's top 12 this season
already.
He is in Roto.
He's 11th in Roto.
Yeah. Okay. So, are you looking at the Roto rankings?
Yes.
Damn it. I was going to do an impromptu game of Fantasy Feud to guess the top five. So, Scott, I'll just make you look bad. Can you guess the top five catchers in Roto so far?
In Roto, Yasmani Grandal's got to be up there.
Yeah, he's one.
Okay. I would guess Sanchez is still up there, even though he's batting under 200.
He's six. Six.
No. Okay, how about Buster Posey?
He is seven. No, he's eight. He's eight.
Francisco Cervelli.
He's three.
JT Realmuto.
Four.
Oh, man, who's two? Let's see.
He homered last night and drove in five runs.
Evan Gattis is two?
He's two.
What?
Yep.
I think that just goes to show you how much attendance matters at catcher.
Yeah, but he's...
Well, he's been really hot lately, but he was, like...
His numbers just look like Evan Gattis numbers.
He's
just
eighth
like
in at bats.
3 weeks ago, just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I wasn't sure. Like, I had an offer. I was offered him in that same 24 team league where I desperately need a catcher, and I wasn't confident that he would really be that much of an upgrade for me, because he was off to such a bad start.
Oh, he is an upgrade.
Clearly.
Yeah. Gattis is two. Grandal, Gattis, Cervelli, Realmuto, and
Salvador Perez.
He's seven. Wilson Ramos is the answer. All right, now we got another catcher, Tom Murphy, who's doing very well in AAA. He made his 2018 debut for the Rockies yesterday, and he went 3-for-4 with a double and two RBIs. He was 1-for-24 last year, Murphy, so it didn't work out. But any interest in Tom Murphy, and would you rather have Murphy or Hicks?
It's interesting that he got called up and they started him right away, because... What is he, 27 now? We've been waiting for his power to get a chance to play out at Coors Field for long enough that I thought the opportunity had passed him by. But he was killing it again at AAA, OPS over 1,000. And it's not like, you know, the Rockies are contributing that sludge at catcher with Chris Iannetta and Tony Walters. So it's not like there's not room for him I'd rather have Hicks, but there's this situation bears monitoring.
Okay. They just don't seem to like him much, like organizationally. I think that's the problem. I don't think there's any I think he could be a top five catcher if he played every day or played for a catcher every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom Murphy. How about David Fletcher, called up by the Angels? Any interest there?
I'm not sure where the opportunity is. He's had a good year at AAA, but, you know, it was kind of by surprise.
I think I read
Simmons down, he could maybe get some playing time.
I think I read that he could play third base against lefties.
Yeah, but it won't be a long-term thing, I don't think.
And that would not be good for Zach Cozart, by the way, long-term, anyway. And I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I'm sorry. Jonathan Loaisiga will debut for the Yankees on Saturday against the Rays. Any interest in
him? I never heard of him till I saw somebody pick him up in that same 2014 league. 58-4 strikeout to walk ratio between AA and AAA this year. And that's like, you know, with 11 strikeouts per nine innings. I don't know how hard he throws. I haven't had a chance to research him that much, but that alone catches my attention.
All right. I mean, it's deep league stuff. They're going to try to skip him as much as possible. I think he may get 1 to 3 starts before Tanaka's back, Jonathan Loaisiga, but keep an eye on Justice Sheffield, who could get called up at some point. Mike Foltynewicz left with triceps tightness, but may not miss a start, and he had another really, really good start, Folty. Acuna is going to begin a rehab assignment tomorrow. Walker Buehler probably out a couple of weeks with a rib microfracture. Josh Donaldson could be back today. Yu Darvish had a good bullpen session, but still no timetable for a return. And Daniel Murphy is back, guys. 98% owned. Do you expect Daniel Murphy to be Daniel Murphy?
I think expect's a little strong.
Do you I don't expect it.
No, I hope he is, but
it
sounds like they kind of rushed him back. And, you know, I think they're playing like 5 games in a row in AL Parks or something like that. So that's probably why this can kind of serve as his rehab assignment. But I'm definitely concerned.
Yeah, he DH'd yesterday. The reason I don't expect it for Murphy is the reports about him kind of hobbling around. I just don't know how healthy he is. But when he's healthy, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. We'll do a quick look at the bullpen, then we'll get into the worryometer. Quick reaction. Ken Giles got the save. He hasn't blown a save yet. Like I said, I don't think he's given up a run in a save situation. Ken Giles got the save yesterday. Rondon had pitched Saturday and Sunday. They were off Monday. I don't know if Rondon was available. I assume he was. Quick reaction, Scott.
I this is the way it's going to go all year. And I feel dumb for starting Hector Rondon. Guess what? In that same 2014 league. Because I had other options.
That's a pretty league.
As someone who refused to do homework until the minute it was due, I really appreciate Ken Giles' unwillingness to perform unless it's a save situation.
Yeah. Joaquim Soria got his 9th save. 5 saves since June 5th. 5 saves in a week, basically, for Soria. There was a 1-out save. So, yeah, he's the closer. 35% owned. Sergio Romo got a save. Quick reaction, Chris Towers.
Cool. Modern-day Dennis Eckersley, this Sergio Romo guy. Starting, closing, I'm not that interested in it.
Yeah, he's 3% owned. He's not that good. Sir Anthony Dominguez got a save, Scott. It was his first one-inning save, his third save, but his first one-inning save. The other two were two-inning saves. Sir Anthony Dominguez, 51% owned.
I think Gabe Kapler's going to tease us with this all season, but I also think Dominguez is probably going to lead the team in saves.
Well, we should note, I believe Yuri Garcia? Lurie Garcia, is that his name?
Yes.
He was pitching the 9th. I think he loaded the bases, and then Sir Anthony Dominguez came in.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. Gosh, Dominguez is really good. He is really good. Zach Britton pitched in the 6th. He walked 3. Worked around it, though. It was his first outing. And then a couple of relievers that you want to keep an eye on. Adam Ottavino is possibly returning this weekend. He's 3-0 with a .95 ERA. He has given up 8 hits, 10 walks, 45 strikeouts in 28 1/3. Ottavino's having a special year. And Dellin Betances says this is the best he has ever felt. In his last 12 appearances, he's given up 1 run, 6 walks, 21 strikeouts, only 2 hits in those 12 appearances. So Dellin Betances, 21% owned. difference between this Dellin Betances and vintage Dellin Betances, he's just a one-inning guy now. So, you know, still could help you with strikeouts, with ERA, and with whip. But he cannot help you with dinner. But I can. Father's Day dinner or lunch, or you just feel like grilling out. Try Omaha Steaks. Oh, baby, I cannot wait to grill it up this weekend. Father's Day is just days away, so now's the time to get on there. What you're going to do is go to omahasteaks.com. Omahasteaks.com. And it's not an offer code. It's not a, you know, something you enter at the end. It's not a URL, but you type in FBT in the search bar and you will see the Father's Day package, you know, show up, and you click on it and you buy it. And it's so inexpensive. You're getting 78% off, $49.99 for an unbelievable package. You go to omahasteaks.com and you type in FBT in the search bar. It's going to get delivered right to your door. You're going to get pork, poultry, veal, lamb, bison, seafood, vegetables. Those are the types of things you can get on Omaha Steaks. But here's what you get in the package. And by the way, this is a limited time offer, okay? This is specifically for Father's Day, so do it right now. Two fillets, two top sirloins, four chicken fried steaks, two boneless pork chops, four all beef steak burgers, four gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, 1 pound of fries, four apple tartlets, four caramel apple tartlets, in fact, and one seasoning packet, and you get four more burgers free with the purchase. So you got to do it now. OmahaSteaks.com. Type in FBT in the search bar. It is $49.99 for all that great stuff. OmahaSteaks.com. Type FBT in the search bar. I've seen some of our listeners taking advantage of this, and I'm very happy about it, and I can't wait to grill it out on Sunday. Here's an email of the day. It's from Nate in Philly. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. He says, "Dear Bob, Phil, Peter, and Raleigh." I don't know. Are we panicking on Aussie Albies yet? And so that leads us into the Worryometer. Thank you, Phil, for your Worryometer email. Hey, let's put Aussie Albies on the Worryometer. He is still the number two second baseman in fantasy. But, yeah, he's not running. He hasn't stolen a base, gosh, since April or something like that. I could look it up, but I'm not going to. It's been a while. Albies did hit a grand slam. He has homered in two straight games now. Worryometer 0-10 on Aussie Albies.
I'm going to go like a 3.5. I understand why people would worry. I just feel like the skill set has become so varied with the addition of the power this year. And this actually reminds me a lot of the way Francisco Lindor's season unfolded last year, where we expect him to do one thing, and instead he reveals he has all this power that we weren't expecting. And then he kind of disappeared midseason, and then he came roaring back at the end. Like, I just, like, what Albies has accomplished at age 21, and, you know, still a low strikeout rate, not a scary line drive rate or any reason to think he's going to be a low BABIP guy. I think in the long run, this is going to still turn out very well for his fantasy owners.
3.5 for Aussie Albies. How about Javier Baez? He is still a top 5 second baseman, top 7 shortstop. His plate discipline is terrible, and in his last 28 days, actually going back a little further, since May 8th, so a little bit more than a month, Javier Baez is the number 22 shortstop in points, but number 12 in Roto because he has 8 steals since May 8th, and he is stealing a lot. He's got 11 steals and 12 attempts this year, but since May 8th, batting .214, like, he got off to a great start. It hasn't been great lately. Chris, Worryometer for Javier Baez.
His OPS is 1/1000th of a point removed from last year's, which is to say it's essentially identical. So I'm going to say one, but that's because I never thought I liked Aussie Albies coming into the season more than Heath and Scott.
Javier Baez.
We
both had him on our breakout list.
Javi Baez.
Oh, okay.
He said the wrong
guy. I liked Javi Baez more than you guys. You guys really didn't think he mattered for fantasy coming into the season. I liked him for roto leagues. I liked him a lot less than you guys did by the end of April. I don't think I've really changed my opinion on Javi Baez at all. Like, I think he's going to put up decent numbers, but we know what the limitations in his game are.
Yeah.
I'm still going to say 30-20 season is coming for Javier Baez. I'm not, like, it's a slump. I'm not worried.
Okay. I don't know that he should be owned in points leagues, though. He's 99% no. owned, Javi Baez.
Wait, he's the number seven shortstop in points leagues. Why shouldn't he be owned in points leagues?
Do you really believe that he's that good? Because,
yes.
Well, because his playing discipline good, is I mean, so
he,
bad.
He had a month like where he was...
I think he's going to be a 30-20 guy.
All
right. Right, like, but like... if he
I
goes,
think he's well, a better version of Trevor Story, basically.
If
so
he
saying,
goes 30-20 this season, that means he's going 16-9 the rest of the way, which is pretty much what we expected from him coming into the season. It's what he did last year. And... I mean,
we're what, 40% through with the season? I'd take 16-9 the rest of the way. I think that'll
okay,
be but, I think that'll be a must-start shortstop.
You know what he is? He's Rougned Odor, you know?
Yeah.
And so if he doesn't do that well, he's going to kill you in points leagues.
I think he's better. He's like Rougned Odor from 2 years ago. A little faster.
Yeah,
so
I mean, the Steelers
he's like
nice.
A better Rougned Odor from 2 years ago, who himself was a must-start option.
All right, it's Javi Baez. Ender Inciarte. Wow, is this guy cold. Worryometer on Ender Inciarte.
I like that he stole two bases yesterday because that was something that had disappeared with everything else. He's up to 20 for the season. I didn't like that skill alone. To me, makes him somebody I can't drop in the Roto rankings. So, and like he's, I still think with his batted ball profile, he's going to hit 290. I'll give him a three.
Ender Inciarte. Okay, and he's two steals away from his career high. And those were his first two since May 15th. So maybe it's just a deep slump for Ender Inciarte. Wilson Contreras. He's the number 5 catcher in points. He's number 10 in Roto. He has 4 home runs this year. Now, you compared Javi Baez last year to this year. Could do the same thing with Wilson Contreras. At least you look at the slash lines. And the batting average and the on-base are very, very similar. It's just the slugging that's down. So, I mean, he looks like a major... positive regression candidate because he's got like a 5% home run to fly ball ratio. I'm very low on the worryometer on Wilson Contreras. I'd say a 2. Chris Towers, how about you?
I am pretty low on that, but I do want to just, this is not a situation where it looks like just bad luck has caused his poor performance. Like his batted ball profile is all kinds of messed up. His hard contact rate is a career low, soft contact rate career high, infield fly ball career high, line drive rate way low. So it's not just bad luck so far.
It's a lot of fly balls, though. He's hitting a ton of fly balls, and they're not
yeah,
leaving the park.
And I believe in the talent.
Yeah. Okay. So we're low on. Scott, do you agree? Pretty low on the worryometer on Wilson Contreras?
Yeah, pretty, like, it. Who else are you going to go with at catcher, you know? Like, he's third just because there's nobody who deserves to overtake.
Would you rather have Contreras or Gattis?
I'd rather have Contreras.
You could maybe make an argument for Grandal.
I think I'd rather have Gattis than Grandal.
No.
See, like, Grandal, Grandal, unfortunately, has kind of morphed back into his old, like, top 10 self after a hot start. Like, Gattis plays every day, and he's a 30-homer guy, you know? He's at least that'll be his pace. Gattis is awesome.
I think Gattis is just fine.
Worryometer on Justin Smoke. 15 for me.
All right, well, let's hear why.
I don't think he's that good. I'm sorry. It's like, he's, you know, he's the kind of guy whose OPS is inflated by his walk rate. So if you play in a points league or you play in an OBP league, Smoke's going to be better. If you need categories, he's the number 28 first baseman in standard Roto, 5x5 without OBP. He's 14th in points. So look, I think he's slumping. I think he's better than this, mm-hmm. and in a points league, I'm probably not dropping him because, like there are good first basemen out there. I'm not dropping him for Ryan Healy, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's that good. I don't think he's that good of a hitter. I just think he's a good walker. That's basically how I see Justin Smoke.
Well, I need orthotic shoes, so I envy people who are good walkers, Adam. Don't dismiss it. He's another guy whose batted ball profile is just all messed up. Actually not hitting very many infield fly balls, but also has the lowest line drive rate of his career by a significant margin. Also has the lowest soft contact percentage of his career. So hard to make sense, but he is top 50 out of about 250 players in average exit velocity. So he's still hitting the ball hard. I think better results are coming. I don't think he's as good as he was last year.
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. I guess I just don't think he can really stand out at the position, unfortunately.
He can't, but like if you lost Miguel Cabrera and we were looking through those replacements,
would you buy low on him?
You'd wish Justin Smoak would be one you could pick up.
Sure, I would buy low. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I.
It just depends. Like, we're talking very, very, very low.
Yeah.
So June 6th, I did the column where I looked at players' last 365 days to give us a better sense of how legit they were. And at that point, and I understand his batting average has fallen since then, but we're talking. What was that? That was just a week ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, at that point, Smoak's last 365 days, even recognizing he only hit 241 in the second half last year, so that's a big chunk of this. His last 365 days were a 261 batting average, 34 homers, 35 doubles, and an 869 OPS.
I know. I'm having trouble like reconciling that because Smoak was really good in July. And in August, he had a 788 OPS. In September, he had a 644 OPS. The other thing is, since August, the strikeout rate has gone way up, and he's striking out a lot more this year than he did last year. And the last thing I'll say, I guess this is why I don't really trust Justin Smoak. He's basically had four good months his entire career. He's been a bad hitter for all but the first 4 months of last year. That's my concern.
Fair.
All right. I want to get to the listener worryometer. You should not be worried though about the draft app. This draft app is freaking awesome. And, all right. It's time to play. How did Adam do on the draft app last night? I don't think it was good because I had Miles Michaelis. Yeah. You know what? I'm tired of saying how I finished. Michaelis, JD Martinez, Scooter Jeanette, Andrew Benintendi, Michael Brantley. It was not a good day for me on the draft app, but I'm going to be back at it again. And you can win Adam Azar's money by signing up on draft or on draft.com. And using the promo code FBToday. FBToday is the promo code. That will automatically get you following me so you can join the drafts that I post every day. And it will also get you a free entry into a real money baseball draft. Why should you play draft other than just beating me? Well, the drafts are really quick. You know, it's not like a long thing. You're drafting five positions, put 30 seconds on the clock, they go really quickly. You can play against one person. You can play in drafts of 10 people. You can play baseball, football, basketball, golf, hockey. You can play a lot of stuff on the draft app. You get cold hard cash. You get paid out the next day, and they start at just $1. And you love fantasy baseball, and you love snake drafts. So join draft right now. Get the draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code FBToday. All right, here's who the listeners are worried about. Give me your worryometer for the following players. Gary Sanchez.
Zero.
Zero.
Luis Castillo.
Three.
I mean, do we have to recalibrate this for him? Because I feel like our expectations deserve to be lower at this point.
Right, yeah, yeah. Like, he was being drafted as a top 20 starting pitcher. So yeah. He's eight for that. But I still think there's a chance.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a chance. I mean, he has the fourth best swinging strike rate in baseball, according to Baseball Reference, their measurement of it, behind, I think, Scherzer, Sale, and DeGrom. And then there's Castillo. So, like, the talent is still off the charts.
Quick aside.
I want to drop him. I want to drop him.
Quick aside, if you were measuring swinging strikes, I don't understand why any website would have trouble doing that, like why they would be different. But if you were measuring swinging strikes, the only thing I can think of is this. How would you measure a foul tip into the mitt?
I don't think that's a swinging strike. Well, foul tip into the mitt is a swinging strike, I guess, because that you can get a strikeout from that.
Yeah. I guess that kind of is the guide there, right?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the discrepancy that these websites have.
Well, that no. The discrepancy that I'm referring to, Fangraphs measures percentage of total pitches, how many swinging strikes out of the total number of pitches, and Baseball Reference does swinging strikes out of the total number of strikes.
Oh, you're just talking about rate. I'm talking about, like, I go on ESPN, I look at Baseball Reference, I look at the same game and the game logs, and one might have, like, 15, one might have 16, and I'm wondering if foul tips are the reason.
To be clear, Luis Castillo is fifth in Fangraphs swinging strike rate, which is swinging strikes divided by total pitches. Yeah. He's third from the bottom in contact rate, which is contact divided by total swings. So whatever way you want to measure Luis Castillo is one of the hardest pitchers in baseball to hit against when it comes to that.
Okay.
Now, when guys make contact, good things have happened.
That's true. All right. Carlos Martinez, worryometer.
I will give him a 1.
Yeah, like well, 2, but only because of injury.
Yeah,
risk.
That's the thing. I got
him. Yeah, no, I'm thinking about him intentionally throwing softer and
right.
That elevates it. That probably elevates it to a 4 for me. Like, I'm not convinced he's not going to wind up back on the DL.
Carlos Martinez. How about Luke Weaver? I am kind of worried. I'm kind of worried that he's just going to be like okay.
Yeah. It's kind of in the same class of Luis Castillo, where I think we've shifted our expectations already.
Yeah.
But given the new expectations, I'll give him like a 5.
Ryan Trammell says, Brain Dozier. I think he meant Brian Dozier. Worryometer on yeah. Brain Dozier.
1.
It's like a 1. Yeah, I mean, how many years are we going to do this to ourselves?
Yeah, yeah, big time buy low. I don't think I included him on that list yesterday of players who can carry your team, but Brian Dozier can carry your team. Also, if you've ever seen the movie Brain Donors, which Brain Dozier reminded me of, Brain Donors is one of my favorites. It's one of Dave Richards' favorites. If you've seen it, that means you and I would be friends. Evan says, Miguel Sano, worryometer.
8.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Like in unless it's a roto league with the bigger lineups, I don't even know why you'd still own him, to be honest. Like, still a ton of upside, but
that's why.
That only carries it so far.
I know.
This is what we were worried about coming into the season.
Yeah, I'm just, what did I say? He hit like 23 home runs before the All-Star break last year or something. I can't get that out of my mind with Miguel Sano. And Noah Syndergaard, worryometer for Syndergaard.
Like 2?
Yeah, what did I say? Whatever I said for Carlos Martinez is probably the same thing here.
Yeah, please get off the DL.
Like, to your Sano point, I think the way things are playing out for Jock Peterson, I mean, the fact that he's not an everyday player kind of changes the equation a little bit, but like, we all knew Jock Peterson had upside. We'd kind of gotten discouraged he would meet it anytime soon, kind of like the place we're at with Miguel Sano. But like, once he started meeting it, you still had a chance to pick him up. Like, it's not like you're giving up on a guy forever if you drop him.
I understand, but you are giving up your exclusive rights. He becomes an unrestricted free agent.
Sure, but you know, those are the tough decisions you have to make, and when you're dealing with limited roster space.
Are you ready for 12 emails in 6 minutes?
Yes.
You're on the clock. Dear Peeps, Bean Boozles, and Cracklin' Oat Brand, this is JT from New York. Head-to-head points league, I need a Cabrera replacement. Bell, Aguilar, Moreland, Adams, Mancini, Muncy, Gurriel, or Hicks. Bell, Aguilar, Moreland, Adams, Mancini, Muncy, Gurriel, or Hicks. I heard a Muncy. We'll stick with Muncy. Go with Muncy. From Jesse, best catcher to own, rest of season, 12-team categories league. Zunino, Hicks, Murphy.
Hicks.
Yeah.
Ooh, over Zunino.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I've never been a big Zunino guy, but I think this year has validated that.
He's still like a good guy in categories.
I think he's like 18th or something.
And he missed a few weeks at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he is what he is. He's going to hurt your batting average. He's going to give you a lot of home runs.
Yeah. All right, so Hicks over Zunino. Josh says, Willie Adames or Addison Russell rest of season in Roto?
I'm fine with taking a chance on Adames.
Yep.
I mean, anybody over Addison Russell. Like, come on. can I drop Gregory Polanco for Willie Adames or Jake Bowers?
I'm fine with that.
Like, it's a 12-team categories league, head-to-head categories league, which means not a ton of players are owned. I'm surprised you can't do better, to be honest, but I'd be fine with that. I'm not married to Polanco at this point.
Okay, so that's dropping Polanco. I'm going to assume we want Adames over Bowers. From Chase, grade the trade. Give up Lance McCullers. Get Mitch Haniger and Alex Wood in a categories league. Give up McCullers, get Haniger and Wood.
Yeah. I'd rather have Haniger. I mean, like, Haniger's fallen off a lot, but I'd still rather have the high-end hitter over the borderline high-end pitcher who's had issues with his best pitch this year. So, you know, and Alex Wood is just a bonus. So I'll give it an A minus.
I think it's like a B minus.
If Lance McCullers has had issues with his best pitch and he's still having a pretty good year, he has a sub-1-2 whip. He's got a ton. Now he's at like a strikeout per inning. Isn't that actually a good sign? Like if he gets that curveball going, you know.
Look at it that way.
I'm not sure Mitch Haniger's a high-end hitter.
Like right. It comes down to it's my 24th outfielder versus my 25th starting pitcher. And then you get my 56th starting pitcher along with it. Like I just think the math clearly works out in the Haniger side's favor.
Okay. Email from Anthony. Head-to-head Yahoo Fantasy League. Boo. No, just kidding. I have four closers. Herrera, Parker, Melanson, and Nate Jones. Should I keep all four or who should I drop? You have two closers. Melanson, maybe. Nate Jones is just not the closer right now. So drop him.
Right.
And no, I don't think four closers, if you had four closers, is too many. In my Yahoo head-to-head categories league, I have four or five closers. So, because if it's daily, then it makes sense to have more closers. Josh in Toronto. Hey, Tinkers, Evers, and Chance, how worried should I be about Cole Hamels, Rick Porcello, and Alex Wood?
Moderately. And like, they were all pretty cheap. Alex Wood was a top 100-ish pick, so that, but... Like, Hamels has, I think, the third highest difference between his ERA and FIP, and so that's definitely concerning.
The only one I feel like who's pitched in a way that would raise concerns recently is Alex Wood, right?
Right.
I mean, others
what I thought.
Just have been doing what they've been doing.
How would you rank them?
Wood, Porcello, Hamels?
That's how you rank them?
Is that what you asked?
Yeah. How would you rank them?
I'd go Porcello, Hamels, Wood. So there.
Wow, you really dropped Alex Wood, Scott. I thought you were an Alex Wood guy.
Yeah, you're the Alex Wood guy.
Yeah, he's been disappointing. I don't know. What do you want me to say?
All right, from Ryan, Godley or Luis Castillo?
Castillo.
Yep.
From Landon, I just randomly sent a guy a trade for Robbie Ray while I was taking a number two. I sent him Rick Porcello.
Was that a euphemism for what he put?
Yeah, he took something. He put something else.
Okay.
I sent him Rick Porcello for his Robbie Ray, and he quickly accepted. That's a win, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, Landon, please remind me never to use your cell phone. From Bill, Gray the trade. Give Bellinger and Flaherty.
Why are you judging this guy?
What? It's disgusting.
You've never used your phone on the
Chris,
toilet?
Chris, I'm not on trial here. Give up Bellinger and Flaherty and get Verlander in a keeper league. Bellinger and Flaherty for Verlander in a keeper league.
Oh, it would totally depend how many players you keep. Like, keeper league doesn't tell me enough. Like, if everybody keeps five players, then who cares about saving youth? Like, there's so much turnover from year to year that it doesn't matter. If you're keeping, like, 15 or more players, that's a lot of upside to give up. And I probably wouldn't do it. So it would just totally depend.
All right. Bob Hop the Third says, watch Disney's Frog Princess for some good music. And Nick Feely says, Be Prepared is the best Disney song, not close.
You know what? A friend of mine and I, senior year of high school, we sang an acapella, like, not that we really know how to sing acapella, but we sang an acapella version of Be Prepared for a school talent show. And we won the talent show.
Really?
Yeah. So I agree.
Would you be willing to, if I got your friend on Skype, would you be willing to do it with him on the show?
Yes.
I don't think
please.
I've spoken to that friend since.
Oh, that would make it so much better.
I don't know Be Prepared. What's it from?
The Lion King.
It's the Lion King, like the one where like the hyenas are goose stepping and.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just saw the Lion King for the first time a couple months ago. So.
Yeah.
Really?
It was obviously this goofy thing we did. We were not expecting it to go over that well.
You know, if you were looking to go do a goofy thing, you should have done some of the music from the Goofy movie.
Should have. Yeah,
there you go.
Let's great music. Let's talk about the double dongs from yesterday. Didi Gregorius, Mitch Haniger, and Ryan Healy. Didi Gregorius is Trevor Story in the AL East. He's been terrible on the road, although last year he was actually better on the road than at home, a lot better on the road than at home. So Didi, yeah, I don't know if we can declare him back, but it's a good sign. Haniger, yeah, we've talked a lot about him, and actually we talked a lot about Ryan Healy, so maybe it's just talking about Didi Gregorius. He's the number six shortstop in fantasy right now. Great April, terrible May, turning it on a little bit in June.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like the number six shortstop to me.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I understand it's been a roller coaster ride, but I still think, like, his BABIP is super low right now. Yeah, he's still good.
Okay, would you rather have Didi Gregorius or Alex Bregman?
Bregman.
Didi,
but they're like one spot apart.
Okay, Didi or Trevor Story?
Didi.
Yep.
Okay, Story is one spot ahead of Didi in points leagues, which surprised me since Story has 77 strikeouts. All right, quick news items. Mookie Betts sat, should be back today. Joe Mauer could be back this weekend. Bryce Harper expected to play today. He got hit by a pitch twice last night. Francisco Cervelli sat again with a head injury. Eric Thames led off and played first against a righty, and Jesus Aguilar sat, and Austin Meadows sat yesterday for the Pirates. Brian Anderson, guys, last 28 days, he's the number seven third baseman in points, number six in Roto. Brian Anderson, like, obviously has a high BABIP. He's batting .372. He has a in the last 28 days, but he's batting .311 on the year with a .386 batting average, but he's hitting the ball hard and he doesn't hit fly balls. So is Brian Anderson going to be a reliable batting average source rest of season?
No. Okay. I think that's what he's best at, and he's pretty good on base guy, but he's not so good at it. Like, he needs that to be what carries him, and it's not quite enough.
I think he'll be more like a .280 guy.
Yeah.
Without a lot of power, so really, it's not a guy to get excited about, right?
Right.
Brian Anderson.
High BABIP, low ISO is a bad combination.
All right, I'm going to go quickly here. Would you be willing to drop John Gray?
No. And in fact, I just wrote a column about that. Good pitchers who are outside the circle of trust, he's among them. I just think the talent is too high, even though you can't use him right now.
How about dropping Daniel Mengden, 86% owned?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that. I'm not saying he's must drop, but I'd be okay with it.
How about dropping Jake Odorizzi, Chase Anderson, CeCe Sabathia, or Clay Buchholz? They're all owned in more than 70% of leagues. Anderson shocked me yesterday. Seven scoreless innings, one hit against the Cubs. I'm going to give the names again. Odorizzi, Anderson, Sabathia, and Buchholz.
We needed to talk about Chase Anderson earlier in the podcast. Because his velocity was up. Like, I'm pretty sure to the levels that it was last year. I want to say it was like 2 to 3 miles per hour up from his last three starts. That's all I checked last night, but I'm going to go to Brooks Baseball right now and look. But that's a big thing.
It is. So hold on to
it. Yeah, This was the hardest he's thrown all season. He averaged 94.3 miles per hour with his four-seam fastball, and that's where he was last year. So, yeah, I think, you know, he was down to 92 the start before. So, look, it's no guarantee that he'll be good moving forward, but a big part of his success last year was the fact that his fastball velocity was way up. And, yeah, I think that's a big deal.
Anderson, now look, I do remember earlier in the year, now I'm looking at Brooks Baseball myself. He had two games where he was throwing pretty hard. A game against Miami, he's throwing 94. Next game at the Cubs, 93. And it's just been, well, I guess he wasn't able to sustain it when he hit 94, averaged 94 on April 19th against Miami. So it's not like a total buy-in, but as a guy, I've been saying, drop Chase Anderson. Didn't make any sense to hang on to him. This is interesting and encouraging, so maybe hang on to him.
And I think in that second start against the Cubs, he like slid awkwardly at home plate and like hit his face against the clay. And I remember his velocity was down immediately after that.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. So something to look at for Chase Anderson. All right, of the rest of the fringy starting pitchers, who would you want to own? So Odorizzi, Sabathia, Zach Wheeler was pitching well until the sixth inning. He only gave up one run in five, and then he ran into trouble in the sixth. Trevor Williams has been bad lately. Jaime Barria, you know, we haven't really talked about him, but Otani's out, so Barria maybe pitching more regularly. Buchholz, Mike Leake, who's been on fire lately. He's got a 2.63 ERA in his last 7 starts. Scott, anyone that you really want to add?
Nobody who greatly excites me. I think Odorizzi is the one I rank the highest of this group, but Wheeler, Sabathia, Berea, they're all, I guess even League, they're all in that, you know, streamer category, I think, at a standard mixed league. Buchholz, get him out of here.
Who did you say was the standout of the group?
Well, Odorizzi is the one I rank the highest. I don't know that he's a standout. I think Sabathia, Wheeler, Berea, and Leak are all basically in the same class of pitchers. They do different things well, but it's the same class.
And where do you put Chase Anderson compared to Odorizzi?
I mean, I dropped him behind Odorizzi before yesterday's start, but now I think I'm going to move him back ahead.
Right. Well, let's take a look at today's matchups, and we'll finish the show. Mets at Braves, DeGrom, yes. How about Soroka coming off the DL?
I'm excited. He should be owned.
Start him or sit him?
No, I'd sit him. Sorry. Forgot what exercise we were doing here.
Soroka is 58% owned. I think I'm going to start him today. The Mets are the worst. Okay. I don't know what the pitch count will be. But you know,
yeah, that'd be my concern. Just I tend to avoid guys coming off the DL.
Especially 20-year-olds.
J-Hap at Wilmer Font.
Start Haps it. Don't bother with Font.
Yeah, sans serif Font, right, yeah. Mike Montgomery at Yolich Scene.
I like, they're both in the range where I could think about starting them, but I don't like the matchup for either. Yeah. That's it.
Chris Sale, yes. And Yefri Ramirez for the Orioles.
No free Ramirez.
Jameson Taillon and Zach Greinke.
Yes.
Yeah, both.
Garrett Richards and Marco Gonzalez.
Yes.
To both, yep.
Tyler Anderson at Nick Pivetta.
Yes to Pivetta.
And that's it, yep.
Eric Fetty at Sonny Gray.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to say no to both, even though Gray's gotten better results recently.
What if Bryce Harper's out?
Maybe.
You wouldn't be crazy to start Gray. It would depend on the alternatives to some degree. I wouldn't be looking to start.
Jose Berríos at Matt Boyd.
Jose Berríos.
Boyd? No Boyd?
Yeah, I'm hedging on Boyd. Let's do it. Let's start Boyd.
Ooh, all right. Andrew Suarez, homecoming game at Caleb Smith in Miami.
Start Caleb Smith.
Yeah.
All right. But not Suarez.
Trevor Bauer at Dylan Covey.
Bauer, no Covey.
Bauer, by the way, is the second best Cleveland Indians starter. Buy or sell?
I like Carrasco more. But, I mean, it's...
Yeah, this your Carrasco thing. Your Carrasco thing...
Go ahead.
It reminds me a little bit of the Jacob DeGrom doesn't have electric stuff.
No, because I rescinded that 2 seconds after. Also, the announcers in that same game said DeGrom didn't have his best stuff that game, so I rescinded that. My Carrasco thing is not part of this argument. It's a Bauer thing. Trevor Bauer's awesome.
He's good.
He's definitely good now.
Yeah.
I was offered Edwin Encarnacion for Carlos Carrasco yesterday, by the way. I'm going to try to get a little bit more, for sure. Tyler Malley at Jason Hamill.
No.
Yeah, no to both. I would much rather have Carrasco than Encarnacion, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Eric Lauer at Luke Weaver.
Starting Weaver.
Start Weaver. And Garrett Cole at Paul Blackburn.
Not starting Paul Blackburn.
And
Blackburn, no.
Blackburn sitting on the end of my bench. Cole Hamels at Kenta Maeda.
I'm not going to start Maeda in his first start back.
Yeah.
Hamels, you know, Jock Peterson will be out of the lineup. I think it's okay.
By the way, Paul Blackburn, another pitcher I would want to become a closer so we could sing Blackburn pitching in the dead of the night.
Yeah, okay, that's better. That's better.
That works.
So that'll end our little musical adventure for today. Thank you all for listening. For Scott White and Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you on Thursday with the Fantasy Regulators.